Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, CEO of RMI International, Greg Schindler.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Basil Mead, MBE. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I recently gathered with a group of friends to celebrate a friend who was having a birthday, and we all gathered at one of the friends' home, where the friend had three beautiful dogs. And before we all piled into cars to go to the restaurant, my friend had to feed the dogs. And so he was saying how I have to feed them now because they eat twice a day, and that keeps them healthier and keeps them on schedule. And the dogs were absolutely beautiful. And one of them was a puppy, one of them was an adult, one of them was an older dog. And I happened to be near my friend in the kitchen while he was preparing all these different bags of food. And he was proud and happy to share with me how important they were to him and how he was feeding them the right things that they needed for their bodies and nutrition, etc. And as a matter of fact, was showing me all these different bags. See, this one's for the puppy because it has such and such and does such and such that helps them grow, etc., etc. And the adult needs this because to maintain this and to maintain the coat and looking so beautifully and da 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 da. And it has this in it as well, which is good because this, etc., etc. And then the older one, we love him. We want to keep him around a long time and keep him healthy. And so we give him this older dog formulation, and this has this and that, and I have to be careful because I could give the adult a treat and sometimes the puppy, but I can't give that treat to the older one because those are bad for him, etc. And so the dogs ate. Now, we then all piled into our cars to head to this birthday celebration at a wonderful restaurant. We all sat down and we all ordered different things. Nobody mentioned one thing about what was in the food and how healthy it was, either for our skin or inside us, or whether we're growing or whether we're adults or whether we're older. Nobody mentioned any of that. And then, even though we stuffed ourselves and food was left over, there was cake. It was birthday cake. And we had to have that. You have to have it because it's birthday cake. You have to have birthday cake. Birthday cake has no calories. Birthday cake has no fat. And birthday cake. And a couple of people said, oh, actually, my doctor says I shouldn't, but I have to because it's birthday cake, et cetera, et cetera. But no mention at all of whether or not we were receiving the nutrients for this part. We don't know. We actually don't even know. It's interesting how we know for our pets. We've been trained. We've learned. And so I'm not judging, and I'm certainly not putting that down. I understand parties and fun and all that. But when we don't know, and when I think we can, and I think, in part, this conversation is what this is going to be about, so that we do.
I think we do know. We just don't want to go there. If I look backwards, it's a wonder I'm still alive after the sugared cereals and the macaroni and cheeses, and I can go on and on.
And on and on. Well, thankfully, the episode of this Life Changes Show is regenerative medicine, harnessing science for a better tomorrow and for this great conversation. So we do know, we know for sure, we have a veteran business leader and purpose-driven CEO behind Regenerative Medicine Institute. Welcome, Greg Schindler, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. What a great intro. It's an honor to be here, Filippo. Thank you.
It's great to have you here, and it's great to talk about what we either do or don't know, but will know after talking with you. Actually, the conversation is so vast, and we're actually going to start in an unlikely way, and that is to say, this whole process of knowing is very personal to you. Tell us about
it. It is. So, you know, to set the stage and create it in context, RMI, Regenerative Medicine Institute, is our clinic and lab down in San Jose, Costa Rica. And what we do better than anywhere else in the world is longevity and the what I call the collateral damage of the aging process. And when I use the word longevity, it helps to sort of, you know, rein it in a little bit, because it is a big word. It's an economy, it's a science, it's a movement, it's a mindset. It's really about helping people live healthier longer. And it is personal to me because on October 7th, 2010, I had a tragic loss in my family. My father, who was declining in his health, and he had been a competitive baseball player in college. He was an athlete. He'd been healthy, very driven, very successful real estate entrepreneur. And in the end years of his life, as his health declined, he did not want to be a burden on his family. He didn't see any other options. The traditional medicine model, the system, he felt had failed him. And so he took his own life. And I really understood. I think that would really, if you want to call it, the birth of a purpose for me. Because two things that solidified for me on that day was, first, the undeniable value of our health, right? Not just as a state of physical well-being, but a bedrock of emotional and psychological equilibrium, if you will. And then the second thing was the urgent need to advocate for better health solutions, right? So that we could prevent others from feeling so hopeless and overwhelmed. Because back in 2010, I didn't have access to the technology and the tools and the science that we do today. And so, yeah, that's the personal part. It is personal for me.
Did I miss something? Was it not two major experiences?
And we can go there for sure. So in the first 12 years of my life, we're very different. I had the kind of alcoholic father that they make movies about, unpredictable and mean-spirited, and I was an only child. I didn't have any siblings to sort of help take some of the heat. So I never knew who was coming through the door. It was that kind of upbringing. So there wasn't a tremendous amount of safety or predictability that was going on in my home. And my mom was working two and three jobs. We grew up what I like to call America poor. You know, we were blue collar south of Houston, about 30 miles. I never went without, right? She made sure of it. But home life was volatile at best. And there was nothing about health. I love that intro, because when I was listening about the sugared cereals and things like that, I grew up on TV dinners and Spam and chicken pot pie. and there's no telling what was in any of that, right? I still don't to this day want to even know what's in Spam. But we were health oriented. We mental health and emotional health was not anything being talked about in our household. So at the age of 12, after a horrific incident that I won't, darken the show with here, he did take his own life as well. So it's happened to me twice. And so if you frame it in the context of mental health and well-being, and then of course our physical health, and as the case of my adoptive father, who was a wonderful man, it is very personal.
So when we first engaged in what would eventually be this conversation on air, we were thinking we were going to be talking about stem cells and cellular aging and all of that, and that is all true. And then you brought something very interesting into the conversation that we sometimes don't think about, and that is adding, how did you say it? It was brilliant. So adding health to years, or what was that?
Life to years, adding yes. Life to years and not just years to life.
Yes. Tell us about that, please.
So there's a lot of talk out there now when you in the longevity circles and in the conferences and in the masterminds about living to 130 or 150 or 180. And you'll hear industry thought leaders and you know, well-known media personalities using numbers like this. And what I like to say when I get asked, you know, they say, well, do you think this is possible? And honestly, we don't know. We don't know. But I do say this, and you know, you and I talked about this briefly. If you want to think about living longer, we have to learn, think about living healthier first. And I like to just start by giving that what I like, the very simple definition of aging, which is the functional decline of a living organism over a period of time. That's a very basic and simple definition of aging. And it's that functional decline part that we have to focus on, because we functionally decline in our cognitive abilities and our musculoskeletal system, our vascular system and our immune function, even our sexual wellness and our aesthetics. These are all things that actually play into how healthy we're going to live for how long. So when you talk about adding life to years, it's really about trying to slow and possibly reverse that functional decline of this living organism we call human. And if we can do that, that will give us a better quality of life in those later years, so that people like my father don't feel like as hopeless and, you know, and as extreme in terms of options as he felt, but that we can, you know, the number one, Filippo, the number one fear of most elderly people is the loss of independence. And that means somebody taking the car keys from them, or having to move in with them, or them moving into an assisted home, or they can't get up and be mobile in their own living situation by themselves. And that's a fear for them. And so that functional decline is where we're trying to address it. And that's what we mean when I say things like add life to years and not just years to life. Does that make some degree of sense?
Oh, a lot of degree of sense. And even somebody like you, and many of us have different kind of traumas, to listen to you talk and the way you share the stories, both earlier and then now on the show, it feels like you have taken this pain and made a purpose out of it. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but also that you have recalibrated enough to where, should you live to be 180 or beyond, that you're not carrying all this, because who wants to live with all of that stuff that we've accumulated with in all those years if we can't do something with it?
Well, 100%, right? We absolutely, you know, I have two gears. I have stop and go fast. So in anything that I do, so I have to choose the things that I do carefully and wisely. But, you know, as I'll share a story with you. When I first got into this industry, if you will, in helping people, we were treating orthopedic issues and injuries. And I had a guy who came in, we'll call him Christopher, and he was overweight. He had his A1C level was not great. He was pre-diabetic, and he was pretty much a train wreck from a health standpoint. But I could see in his eye, he was committed. He wanted to do something about it. And he said, can you help me? And I said, we can. His knees were hurting him. I said, but you're going to have to make some commitments to yourself first. We're going to need to lose about 35 or 40 pounds. We're going to need to get your A1C a little bit lower. We're going to need to make some changes in your lifestyle behavior, or anything that we do to help your knees will be temporary and short-lived. And if you'll commit to that, I'll commit to you that, you know, I'll be through this journey with you.
Wow.
And to my surprise, he did, because most people say no and they go to the next place that'll take their money. And about 4 or 5 months later, Christopher comes back in, sitting in the clinic, and he, with tears in his eyes, he tells me, I went to an apple orchard this weekend. And I said, well, that's great, Christopher, but why are you crying about it? And he said, you don't understand. He said, since the boys were little, we took them to this apple orchard. We picked apples. It was just this silly family tradition thing that my wife and sons and I did every year. But for the last 5 or 6 years, I had to sit in the truck. I couldn't get out because the soil was loose and uneven and my knees hurt too bad. So I had to sit in the truck and watch. And Filippo, for me, that was the moment that I realized what I was really doing is I'm giving these kids and his wife, their husband back. I'm giving him his life and his family back. Not I, he did it, because we're just empowering him. And I'm not the hero of this story. He is, because he did. He made a decision. He lost the weight. He did everything we asked him to do. Then he got treated. His knees felt better. And now he's back with his wife. So to your point, if we're going to live longer, we want to be able to do the things that we love to do with the people we love to do them with.
Every hero needs support and lots of it. So what a, and those are heroes in themselves. So what a great story and what a great analogy. So you turned your pain and your interests into a passion for yourself and for other people, and have, I love how in your title, purpose-driven CEO. So let's talk about purpose-driven and then the actual purpose that you have are driven to.
Fair enough. So I believe that, you know, we all have our stuff, right? Whatever we've had in our past and our traumas, we all have it. And mine's no different than someone else's, but it's how it starts to inform us and or own us. And for a while with mine, it did. I went through my angry period. I went through my confused period. I went through, you know, a lot of these struggles in my, you know, my early adult years, where I was trying to make sense of it all. Like, why did this happen to me and what was going on? And so in trying to work through healing for myself, you start getting into things about self-love and self-worth and empathy and resilience and all of that. And really what I discovered was that these things can be a weight around your neck and hold you down, or they can be the fuel and the strength that leads you to go on to a purpose, to a higher purpose. And I chose to go that route. And fortunately, I was surrounded by a lot of good people. I had sought some of them out. And I think that we attract the things that we're looking for in life. So if you're looking for, you know, negative things and bad things to come your way, you may attract it. But I was looking for, you know, love and hope and you know, just the things in life, being around people with positive mindsets. And I was reading every book that I could. I was going to conferences. I went to a therapist. I just did the things that I could do and needed to do to try to put that positivity and that purpose back in my life, because I believed wholeheartedly that that was what was going to save me. Because my friend Charlie Ingalls says a lot. He says, what happens to you in life is not nearly as important as what you do about it. And when you do that, you find your purpose. And for me, it was trying to, one person at a time, help them overcome, or, you know, adversity, or not feel as hopeless in the end stages or even in the middle stages of their life with respect to their help. Again, we are simply a guide. We have a plan. If you'll follow this plan, we believe we can help you live healthier longer. And for me, that's where that purpose comes from. And I experienced it firsthand, as I discussed earlier in the show.
I had this image while you were speaking of, I'm thinking catapult or something like a catapult, actually is what I want to say, is so that we're being held down by this big rock and we could say, well, look, we got a rock on us, that's why we're here. And somebody could say, well, just move the rock, or rather move the whatever's holding the catapult down, and then we are launched forward, and you have launched forward into this great passion and mission. And so which is what?
So the mission, really, the why we exist at RMI, is to empower individuals to transcend the traditional boundaries of aging. In a nutshell, that's it. And I like that word empower a lot, because I'm not different than anyone else. I like an easy button from time to time. You know, we would love to take a pill and lose 30 pounds. We would love to take a pill and live longer. But it's just not how things work. And so what we can do is become empowered with knowledge and education and tools and treatments and therapies and the like, so that our why is really to empower individuals. They become the heroes of their own stories. And when you do that, what we've seen is that it creates this ripple effect in their families and in their lives and their friends and their loved ones. So for us, the mission is we create and provide what we believe is the medicine of the future, so that we can revolutionize how we impact aging, injury, and disease for the benefit of humanity today.
And what could we ask for more than that, except to know what it is and how we get it and what we do and all that, and what we could do starting right here where we are to help get us to the next level. So when we come back, that's the conversation that I'd like to have with our guest, again, purpose-driven CEO behind Regenerative Medicine Institute, Greg Schindler. And to learn more about him and his company, we have several links at the Life Changes show page for Greg Schindler, and you can also go directly to rmi-international.com. So more on that conversation when we come back a little later on. We'll also have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then we are going to have Basil Mead, MBE, as our performance guest on the Life Changes show. All online edition when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. Regenerative medicine, harnessing science for a better tomorrow. Actually, even for a better today. Our interview guest is veteran business leader and purpose-driven, I love that, CEO behind Regenerative Medicine Institute. So, Greg Schindler, great to have you and great to have this conversation. Can I tell you what inspired that monologue, actually, was that I was going over the website, I was watching different videos, and I saw that you all had, was it a bioceutical product or something with key nutrients in it for our stem cells and our body cells, and I thought, that sounds like something that would be on the package, sadly, of a dog food. But where's our package?
It's so true. Thank you for having me. It is. I mean, you know, I loved that when you were talking in the monologue, two things came up for me. One was there's a joke about dog food that I remember from Sales Guy days. It's actually quite funny. And then the second thing is it's so true. I think we've gotten better, but we don't ask what is in this. What am I eating? What am I putting into my body? And we know this, that food and sleep, nutrition and sleep, are neck and neck as the most important things we can do for our health, right? We need to eat well. We need to sleep well. Food is medicine. It's either one of a nutritionist out of Houston. I love what she says. Think of food as either fighting or contributing to inflammation, everything you put in your mouth. And that makes it fairly easy for me when she dumbs it down like that, but it's true. And so when you look at different supplementation, it's important too to know what's in those ingredients. How well do they absorb into our systems? Some are better than, you know, some are better engineered than others. And I believe the supplement you're talking about is probably Healthy Cell. And that was created by Dr. Giampapa, who's one of the co-founders at RMI, over many, many years of research and studies to really try to have all of the key natural ingredients that we can pack into a tablet, if you will, that will support cellular health.
So yes, and it was one of the factors, something about three key factors of aging: stem cells, senescent cell. I will tell you, I was learning a lot. I'm fascinated. And then the key nutrients. So you also mentioned sleep, very important. And the senescent cells. And I'm thought, what is that word? And I'm thinking something like senile, old age. And so do you mind talking about those three?
No, I would, key factors? I would love to. I would love to. And this is where we're going to nerd out in the show.
Nice.
So we're going to get a little sciencey here, but I've developed some ways to make it, you know, pretty digestible.
I'm also curious about the dog food joke, but maybe
okay,
that's
I'll tell
for
it
after
at the end
show.
If we have time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's clean. It's not a problem.
You okay.
It's a rated G joke. But it made me think of it. So, you know, when we start thinking about our bodies and, you know, we'll get into cellular senescence here. You know, it's helpful to understand how we repair, the way to think of stem cells. Think of it first like a tank of gas in a car. When we're born, 1 in 10,000 cells in our body is a stem cell. And by the time we get to our 70s and 80s, it's around 1 in 2 million. So it's just this slow, inevitable decline on a decline curve where we use up our stem cells in order to repair. It's the building blocks of our system. So, for example, I give an example. Sometimes if I were to cut myself, if my arm got cut, that trauma that happened from opening up that tissue would create inflammation. And that inflammation would call stem cells to the area to come back and close up, regrow that tissue. The same thing, that's the healing cascade. Same thing is happening on the inside. So that's the importance of stem cells. They're the only cell in the body that can differentiate into other tissues like lung cell or skin cell or heart cell or brain cell or whatever they need to be. And so that's the vital role that they play in our bodies. And as we age, we get less and less efficient at using our regenerative capacity and our regenerative function that comes naturally to us. And it's part of an operating system, the way I like to think about it. You know, in our 20s to 40s, we're most optimized from a health standpoint, least likely to get disease, cancer, you know, all of these things. It's so that we can procreate, be productive in society, keep the species going. And this is done primarily through, not the only way, but we see it through gene expression. And that's where epigenetics comes into play. Different genes are active in our 20s to 40s than that are in our 50s, 60s, and 70s. And one of the ways this starts to happen is we turn off processes that have been working really well for us in our 20s to 40s, in our 50s and 60s, they don't work so well. And that's where cellular senescence starts to come in. When a cell can no longer divide and multiply, it becomes ultimately senescent. There's a stage between, but we'll talk about senescence. And a lot of people call them zombie cells, but they're enemy number one to the aging process. They really are. Another way to think about them is like, if you're trying to live healthy, Filippo, and you're eating well and you're sleeping well and you're exercising and you're, you know, not eating bad things and taking all your supplements, and you're meditating and doing breath work, you're doing everything you can to give yourself an advantage. And your best friend who's on your hip 24/7 is smoking, drinking, he's sedentary, he's, you know, not doing any of the healthy lifestyle behaviors, and he's trying to influence you to be more like him. That's a senescent cell in the body next to healthy cells, if that makes some degree of sense.
Wow.
And so as we age around late 50s, early 60s, more or less, this is not rigid, but more or less, as our stem cell numbers and function are declining, the senescent cells are increasing in number. And so it's that intersection, let's call it 60 years of age, where everything, you know, sort of to the east of that, to the right of that intersection, is where we start to see age-related disease and age-related decline in some of those systems that I talked about earlier. And so cellular senescence plays a critical role in that.
You're making me rethink my friendships, actually. No joke in a sense that that actually has an influence, kind of like the cell, how, what conversations we have, right? The kind of people we're around and the things that we're doing, that's all part of it, right? Epigenetics.
Well, 100%. So the way I like to say this, these are puzzle pieces. There's no magic bullet when it comes to living healthier longer. There's just not. There's no easy button. You have to sleep well. You have to exercise well. You have to de-stress. You know, I like breath work and grounding every morning, meditation, whatever it is that you do. People go for 5-mile runs, whatever it is you need to do. That lifestyle behavior and that lifestyle component is about 75% of the battle. The other 25%, when it comes to living healthier longer, is always going to come back to the cellular level. And all of those things that you're doing in lifestyle behavior are impacting you at the cellular level. And where we see epigenetics play or come into play is, this is finally a scorecard, because so much of healthcare is subjective. You know, how do you feel today? Well, I feel okay. You know, I mean, it's just the subjectivity that can drive us a little bit crazy. With epigenetics, it looks at how you're methylating DNA by looking at about 900,000 points on your genome. And it puts it into a cohort and an algorithm that says, okay, I'm going to assign you a biological age based on some subjective questionnaires, based on DNA methylation. And I'm going to put you in this pool of other people and say, this is your biological age compared to your chronological age. And there's some data and statistics behind these epigenetic clocks and these algorithms that are highly accurate. And so what it does is it gives us an objective number, an objective piece of data to say, okay, this is your baseline. I'm 56 chronologically, but I'm 47 biologically, or I'm 60 biologically, right? I want to be younger biologically, obviously. So the good news is now we have some objective data, and it's just one piece of data, right? We like biomarkers. We like, you know, things around hormones, DNA damage, oxidative stress, free radicals. There's lots of different biomarkers that we can look at, and they tell a story about each individual person, each one of us. And epigenetics is sort of the master clock, if you will, of how we're aging as an organism. Are we in an accelerated state of aging? Or are we in a decelerated state of aging? And the good news is we can mitigate it. We can treat it, you know, and we used to believe not that long ago that whatever genetic lottery you were given or born into, that was it. There wasn't much you could do about it. We know now that's not true, that our epigenome actually can be changed. And it's done through a lot of things like lifestyle and cellular medicine.
Nice. Nice. I like that. So you've already actually mentioned a lot of food for thought here, things that we could be doing right away, things that you're doing and things that you all talk about doing or recommend people do within regenerative medicine and the Institute. We are coming up against our time together for this interview. It feels like the first of hopefully many, but in the meantime, what else can we know as we send people to our webpage to find out more about you? We've got treatments and we've got testimonial links, etc., on there, YouTube videos, and of course they can go directly to rmi-international.com. What else do we need to know before we get to end with a joke?
We just that, you know, with all the things that we talked about, now that we understand better how the machine works, right? How the human body works, we can and we do have treatments and solutions that will address each of those areas and those functional declines that I talked about at the top of the show. And we do it through cellular medicine, a combination of your own stem cells, as well as stem cells that we culture and expand in our own lab here in Costa Rica. And when you combine that with a functional medicine program and good lifestyle behavior, that's where we're starting to see in a cohort of, oh gosh, I'd say 600 or 700 patients now, as a cohort, they are in a decelerated state of aging from 365 days ago. So that's what people should take away, is there is a way to come in and start making changes, objective and measurable changes in our health outcomes, so that we can live healthier longer.
and also starting to look at health differently and also have hope and be inspired by everything you're sharing, actually.
We see a lot of that. We actually see people who come in and say, you know, look, I know I'm overweight. I haven't taken care of myself, but they view this investment in their health as a catalyst or as a starting point for them to try to take better care of themselves in the second half of their life. Right. I love that quote that says everybody has two lives. And the second one begins the day they realize they only have one.
Oh.
And so people will come in and they will, you'll actually see them 5-6 months later, they drop 40 pounds. They look great and they feel better. And it just makes sense. If you feel terrible and your knees are killing you and you have low energy and you have brain fog or whatever may be going on with you, and you want, somebody tells you, well, just get off the sofa and go work out and go eat better. It's hard to feel inspired and motivated, but if we can help get you into a position to where then you can go to that next level, you feel better, your energy's better, you're not in as much pain, then you have a much better chance of doing that. And that's just our role, is to empower people to try to get there.
Wow. Well,
and stay there and stay there.
Well, and with that, I, again, like to invite people to go to rmi-international.com and go to the Life Changes website page for our guest, Greg Schindler, and learn more about that. And so you're not only a different kind of CEO, which is a whole conversation in itself. You're a purpose-driven CEO, which says so much already. You're also a cool and funny guy. And so we're going to do something that I don't think we've ever done. And I don't even know what the joke is, but I'm going to trust you, Greg. Please share us your joke.
Oh, gosh. All right. So anybody who's been in sales and in business will appreciate this joke. But the joke goes that there was a group of, and it's really more sort of a parable, if you will, but there's a group of salespeople that work for this dog food company. And it's a big dog food company. And everybody's all excited about this new product, this scientifically engineered, this incredible dog food that's come out. It's going to change the face of the industry. And so 300-400 salespeople all gather at this national sales conference and they roll it out in this big lights and stage and music and smoke and this big production to announce this new dog food that they're coming out. And all of them, you know, 349 guys are jumping up and down on their feet, excited about this. They're going to kill the competition. And there's one old timer standing over here with his hand stuffed in his pocket and he's not buying into it. And so the young sales guy comes over to him and he says, you know, Ross, why aren't you excited? Why, you know, what's going on? Why aren't you? This is incredible. And he just looks over at the young sales guy and he goes, go see if the dogs like it. It doesn't matter if the dogs won't eat it.
Oh, true.
So there you
true.
Go.
True. Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you. And I believe we have somebody to thank for actually this introduction.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Patrick Cunningham and Dana Herrera for bringing you on, Greg. We're so glad we had this conversation today. Although after everything I've heard, I guess I'm going to have to surrender my membership to that spam club.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, see, are you,
is it even spam, it even of the still month around? Club? Does it still exist? God, I hope not. No, Dana and Patrick are phenomenal. They're amazing colleagues to work with every day. So I'm super grateful to have been here and thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much once again, Greg Schindler from Regenerative Medicine Institute. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Kimberly, and you had told me years ago to pay attention to my thoughts, as it is our thoughts that create our reality. I believe this is true and want to know how I can get my fiancé to be more mindful of his thoughts and his words. He is a brilliant, successful man and can be very upbeat and positive. However, sometimes after he has been on social media for a while, he becomes stressed and angry and forgets all of the good in our lives. This sometimes affects his work and he becomes moody and depressed. How can I help him shift these moods back to where his thoughts become positive and creative?
Kimberly, it could be really good to start your daily conversations with remarks that praise all of the great qualities that your fiancé possesses and how blessed you are to be with him. And then, when his mood shifts negatively, you can remind him how successful and brilliant he is and suggest that together you can find a way to shift his mood back to one that serves him. You might also want to share with him some articles explaining that our thoughts do indeed create our reality. I found an excellent article by Juliana Summers titled, Always Watch Your Thoughts Because. The article begins with these words, "The thoughts that dominate our minds today will determine the future we create for ourselves. Our thought patterns shape how we perceive and engage with the world. We must be vigilant guardians of our inner mental world to live a positive, fulfilling life. We can gradually reshape our habitual thought patterns over time by consistently monitoring our thoughts and intentionally focusing our mental energy on constructive thinking. We can transform limited thinking into empowered consideration that opens up new life possibilities with conscious effort." Then Juliana helps us by discussing the powerful effects of thoughts and goes on to explain how we can redirect our thought patterns. Kimberly, I believe your brilliant man will gain a much better understanding of how important our thoughts are when you share this article and other similar ones with him. I look forward to hearing of your progress.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And with that, we will be right back with our performance guests on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, Basil Mead, MBE, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and we're excited to let everyone know that our performance guest is charismatic and multi-talented vocalist, pianist, and leader of Europe's premier vocal ensemble, the London Community Gospel Choir. We'll talk more about them in a moment. We've got Basil Mead, MBE, on the show. Welcome, Basil.
Thank you for that, Mark. It's brilliant to be here. We've taken a little while to get it together, but I'm glad we finally managed to do it.
You are quite a busy man.
Yeah, my activities. Yeah, I'm in and out. Literally just got back from Shanghai a couple of days ago with the choir for the first time. It's quite an amazing journey and very glad we went to see it for ourselves.
Well, so glad we were able to together make this happen. And a big thank you to Ilana for helping us and connecting us.
She's a connector. She's a little busy bee, but she connects people all over the place. Lovely lady.
Yeah. Thank you to Ilana.
Ilana Lorraine. Lorraine. Yes.
And so with that, actually, we'll talk more about some of the places you've been and some of the places the choir has been heard. But actually, let's start with where you actually started. And interestingly, when I saw that you were born in Montserrat, I thought Spain. But then you said?
Montserrat in the Caribbean, a small island. It's a British colony, still is. Has the British governor on the island. I was born there some years ago and left there when I was 9 years of age to come to my mother, who had already arrived here invitation by the British government, as they did send representatives to the Caribbean islands, inviting them to come and help to rebuild the motherland after the bombings of Hitler and his troops. So I arrived to the United Kingdom having never seen white people, a white person before, because where I lived there were very, very, very few. And I lived in a village, they didn't venture. So it was like going to another planet. It was really different. I arrived in February, which was the middle of winter. I was dressed as if I was still on the Caribbean island.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine the shock my poor body experienced. People had the steam coming out of their faces. I'd never seen that. Seen a train for the first time. Men dressed in uniforms, white men dressed in uniforms. It was another planet, really. It was but here I am many, 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 many years later, became my home. And I've been back to Montserrat maybe a few times. A volcano erupted there in 1995 and destroyed part of it, where I was born and grew up. So that area is no more.
A story, Basil.
Yeah, quite. Indeed, and there's so much more to it. Sir George Martin, the Beatles manager, owned one of three recording studios in the world called Air Studios. One in New York, one in Montserrat, one in London. The one in Montserrat got destroyed initially by a hurricane, and then the volcano completed the job. So George lived on the island with his wife, and many, many, many artists went to Montserrat to record for months, right from the Earth, Wind & Fire, Luther, Stevie, Elton John, Sting, Duran Duran. Most of the UK-based rock and pop artists recorded on Montserrat.
Wow.
Best-kept secret, they called it.
Wow, this is fascinating, and what a story. I imagine some of this is in your book that we'll talk about in a little bit, but I had no idea. And it's interesting how your mother was invited by the British government to come to London, to England, as a representative, and you are a representative as well of what, in MBE, that part.
I shouldn't say stumbled. I went to church, as most Caribbean families are very much churchgoers, and you do that from a child when you're on the islands, and then some lose that tradition when they come to United Kingdom, but my mother and family certainly kept that going. So I was introduced to gospel music in church. My life was very difficult during my teenage years, very disruptive with a stepfather I did not get on with. And we had a bit of a fight. and I left the home and ran away to Germany, would you believe, trying to find work with a total stranger who I met down in Leicester Square, Piccadilly, down the center of London, and just wanted to get away and accepted an invitation to go and work. None of it materialized in Germany. I eventually came back home, but came back to UK, but didn't go home. I rang the minister of the church that I used to go to. And she had a home, about 5 bedrooms. She said, well, look, come and stay here in one of the rooms until you decide what you want to do. And that probably was the best decision I could have made, because that is when my life changed.
Wow.
And she showed me how to play the keyboard, started sending me lessons, English lessons, doing crossword puzzles. And my education, my real education, began at that time. She showed me, taught me self-love, because I was a very angry man, young man at that time. And that's where I found faith in God and the love of gospel music. And that is where my life as it now exists began.
And the MBE part?
The MBE, that came about because of my dedication to, I did something that was quite controversial back in the 1980s. With 3 other guys who were choir leaders, we would see each other and listen to each other's choirs perform separately when we were invited to different functions. And we just began thinking about uniting our choirs and forming a mass choir in London. So the idea for the London Community Gospel Choir began there. And I became the head of this thing because I was the more mature person, the older person. By that time, I'd been minister of music in my church and elder. And so I rose to the top, and everybody just more or less said, well, it has to be you. You have the experience and the wisdom. And, well, so they thought. It caused quite a stir amongst the church leaders because they thought I was starting a denomination to take their members, their young members, because it was for young people. And so I was being given a hard time. People thought I was a bit of a rebel trying to take people's members and start my own church. But that was not it at all. And that is how the London Community Gospel Choir came about. And we were invited to do, after our debut concert, we were invited to do a TV performance, which was unheard of for a British-based, a UK-based gospel choir. We'd seen American choirs occasionally, heard the music, but never a British choir. And when we performed on what was a TV program for a black magazine show, showing the social and other activities of the black community at the time, it just exploded into the wider community, and people realized, well, hey, there's gospel choirs in the United Kingdom. They were here, but all in the churches, and they never did anything outside of their church program. And here was this new choir performing with sinners, not in a church service, on a TV show. My goodness, it was a sacrilege. Wow. I get what the church stood for. So, you know, we got...
Making history everywhere you go.
Absolutely. You know, the saying goes, not all publicity is bad. There's some publicity that also, you know, although perceived to be bad, it actually had a good impact. And it certainly did that. Because from then, people wrote into the producer of the show and said, we want to see more. We want to hear more. And they opened the door and had another opportunity. That was for Christmas 82. And they asked people to send in choirs to send in cassette tapes to tell you how long ago that was. And they selected about three or four different groups from all over the country to come into the Easter show in 83. And that's where a number of other choirs were selected. One of them was selected by the band Madness to sing on their signal. Again, you know, just causing a great impact, an announcement that gospel music absolutely exists in the UK. And so my MBE came about by a lot of the non-church events that I did with my choir, because it made the wider public aware that gospel music is in the... It made people aware of the black-led churches. And so consistently doing some of the really popular TV shows, we performed on the there was a royal variety show that happened every year. This is for the queen and her family, and artists were invited to come and perform. So we did about six or seven of those. And wow. So we were quite popular, became very regular. And then invitation to perform on McCartney's album, My Regards to Broad Street, and Ellie Goulding and Elton John. We did something with Elton for Lion King, the TV, Luther. There's some shows at the Albert Hall with Luther and TV shows. Stevie Wonder provided my choir for Stevie when he come over, and many, many artists. Many, many artists performed with Pink, Timberlake, 1975. My goodness, the list is endless. It goes on and on and on.
Well, speaking of making history, out of almost 800 shows here on the Life Changes Show, this is the first MBE that we have on the show, that being you. And those who don't know, a member of the Order of the British Empire. Now, before we learn more, we're going to get to enjoy more, and we're going to get to enjoy a song that you've written that is performed by you and the choir, the London Community Gospel Choir. This song is inspirational. It's called Moving On. Anything you'd like to share about this song before we get to broadcast it?
Absolutely, it's from my heart. It speaks about my life, really. When I write songs, I don't write many, but when I do write them, they are testimonies to my life and my journey. And this is one of them.
Okay, so here is Basil Mead MBE and the London Community Gospel Choir in this pre-recorded version of the song Keep Moving on the Life Changes Show.
Keep moving, moving forward, moving forward.
There's always something in your way. Things happen just Wow.
You could say that. I wasn't ready for that to end.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Yeah, no.
It's different. It's different with... I'd like to tell the story about my faith in a different way to what is the traditional style. Because we perform quite a lot to non-church audiences. In fact, most of our performances are to non-church, non-Christian audiences. And so structuring our songs in a way, is telling our story in a way that they can relate to is where I'm at. That's what we do.
Well, what a great story and a great message. And if you're enjoying what we're enjoying here at the Life Changers Show, learn more about Basil Mead, MBE, and the London Community Gospel Choir at lcgc.org.uk. And LCGC is, of course, London Community Gospel Choir. So, Basil, we only have a couple minutes, which seems like not enough to talk about all the questions I now have.
Absolutely not enough.
And I'm gonna add more questions than we even talked about. Like I'm gonna add the fact that you run workshops and that you do the Basil Mead experience. And what is that?
Oh my goodness. You've been doing your research.
And then, of course, your book. But yeah, what is I feel like I just had a Basil Mead experience. So tell me more.
I've been doing workshops across Europe in particular for many years, particularly in places like Spain and Italy, and, Sweden, and the Baltic states, because I visit there quite a lot, and they tend to asked me to come back with either on my own or with one or two singers and work with the gospel choirs. What people are not aware of, gospel music has really developed in Europe. Italy has, they say, over 800 gospel choirs there.
Wow.
And Spain is knocking on the door. Sweden has some amazing choirs. Norway, Denmark, up in Estonia, Latvia. You would not believe. You would not believe what's been going on in Europe here. So I get invitation to service many of these choirs. So I'm invited to go out. And in fact, I'm going up to Burgos, which is northern Spain, next week. And I tend to go in a Friday, do stuff Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back into UK on Monday. That's my schedule.
Wow. All with the Basil Mead experience, where you're bringing in elements to gospel that either have been there, but not that people didn't know, maybe, or actually that you're seeing that people haven't seen before.
I think because through the London Community Gospel Choir, it's a brand that is so well known here in the UK, and so people ask me from in nightclubs and rock festival, blues festivals to come and do something. So I put together songs that influenced me when I began listening to music a lot. I listen a lot to soul music, one of my favorite music styles of music ever. And so a lot of that is very inspirational music, and I love inspirational music. You might tell from the song you just heard. Don't necessarily direct just the thing about God and Jesus and so forth, but it's still promoting the faith that Christ came to, respect that Christ came to encourage mankind to live with. And wow. I like to do these with the Basil Mead experience, and I get opportunities to perform in jazz venues and other types of venues. Yeah, so it's given me so many different opportunities to be active promoting positivity on this planet.
Wow, thank you so much. And actually, we're going to get to hear another fine example of that in the next song. But before we go there, definitely want to talk about A Boy, A Journey, A Dream. Your book.
My book. The boy, it's me traveling for Montserrat by boat, by the way. It didn't fly. My parents couldn't afford the flight money, so the boat was the cheaper of the two options. So I was at sea for about 3 weeks, practically on my own. My father just asked a couple of guys to keep an eye on me from my village, and that's what they did for the 2+ weeks I was at sea. That was the boy and the journey.
At 9, was it?
Yeah, 9 years old.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was 19, yeah, 90, giving my age away.
That's okay. It's okay. Good for you.
A few years ago.
A few years ago. It probably does seem like a few years ago with a lot of experience in between. But a boy and then the journey, well, that's a journey,
Like the sea journey. Wow. I was sick for most of the journey. I've never been to sea before. Terrible, terrible experience. But I survived it and landed at Southampton, which is one of the ports that many of us arrived at on the boats. In fact, we've been celebrating Windrush. Windrush was the first boat from the Caribbean with West Indians from all over the Caribbean islands arriving. And so it's a boat that celebrated. They were the pioneers of the Black British culture here. And so they are celebrated every year. And there's a lot of history, political history around that, which would be interesting to investigate. So I'm part of that particular first flood of Caribbean people came to the islands.
Wow.
Came to UK, rather. And the boy journey a dream. My dream is started with the formation of the London Community Gospel Choir with my other friends. And the journey continues. It's 40 years now since the formation. And I'm still here. I'm handing down to my son, Leon Mead, who's taking the... my legacy, I felt, is being deeply seated or rooted in my heart. I must not allow this thing to die when I move on. It must continue. So he's been on me since he was age 2. He's been on tour since then.
Wow, beautiful. Well, for many, many, many more years to come, I trust. And so now we're going to get to hear the answer. Please share. I don't know what's the question.
Searching for an answer of how things meant to be. Then many of us search, and as I said, at a time in my life, I was searching for an answer. What I'm going to do? Am I going to be a carpenter? Am I going to be a mechanic? I tried all those things, but I got sacked from the jobs. I couldn't do them, did them well. So I kept on searching until this woman found me. Olive Paris, I would be indebted to her for the rest of my life. Love her as my mother. She adopted me and showed me, gave me direction, gave me purpose, and helped me to focus on my faith in God. And that's where I am and have been for my life since I met her. Thank God for her. And that's what this song is about, searching for an answer.
Wow. So here is the answer, pre-recorded on the Life Changes show, Basil Mead, MBE, and the London Community Gospel Choir. Wow, Basil Mead, MBE, in the London Community Gospel Choir. Oh, my goodness. If you're enjoying what we're hearing, and you're probably standing up actually right now and clapping. And if you learn the song, you'd be singing along. Absolutely. lcgc.org.uk. LCGC, of course, for London Community Gospel Choir. Now you could hear why they're the first point of call for soulful vocals for high-profile concerts and recordings. Basil, good for you. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And of course, people can check on the website, www.lcgc.org.uk. And talk to us. I would love to hear from people who might have listened. It's good to hear from folk over your side of the world. We've never been to the States as a choir. So you never know.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Never know.
Okay, then we're going to put that out there. You know, I have to say, as we're bringing this to a close, that I've heard in your music, and now that you've shared that some of them are so personal and were written at a certain time, that it's universal, because I'm listening to the lyrics. For example, I'm surrounded by problems. I need a revolution to change my way of life, to find a perfect resolution. I need to burn away all my pride, et cetera. That's for now. That's right here, right now, for all of us.
That's right now. Absolutely. 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 And you're so many of us are on that particular journey, and some of us have been through it, and so we can look back and try to give some guidance to others, and that's what I'm about.
So
absolutely,
thank you for that, for sharing that for now for all of us. And again, the book A Boy, A Journey, A Dream, it's available where books are sold, and you can learn more about it at the website again, lcgc.org.uk. And Basil, What a pleasure, and I can't wait to be in an audience to see you, or even introduce you on stage in the United States of America.
Oh, my goodness. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. You've been a fabulous host. Thank you very, very much.
So great to have you on. Thank you. Our pleasure. A big thank you once again to Basil Mead, MBE, our performance guest, and to our interview guest, Greg Schindler of Regenerative Medicine Institute. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer, Mark Leger, and co-host, of course, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.